we are in the book of Hebrews. Yes, as we're turning there, I'm just going to say to all the dads out there, I just want to say thank you to every dad before we get started, because many times, dads, as dads, you're underappreciated. And that's just the truth. And so for all of you Christian dads who, I get it, you're not perfect. Look, I understand that. But I just want to say thank you so much for all that you do in trying to follow Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he protect you. May he encourage you. May he uplift you today. Even if no one else says Happy Father's Day, let me tell you, we're here to say Happy Father's Day, and with a blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ himself to give you strength, encouragement, power, and steadfastness to finish this race marked out for you. Thank you for being a blessing. If no one else has thanked you, thank you, guys, and God bless you. Okay, as we start the book of Hebrews, somebody had sent me this, and I make scripture pictures, and we have thousands of people from all over the world, that other pastors and Bible study leaders that download them and use them in their sermons, which is really cool. But I just thought this was really, somebody else made this, I didn't, I want to make sure this is clear, but I thought this was really good, okay? All right? Brushing up on God's word daily helps prevent tooth decay. Christ toothpaste. Is that helps fight sin before they start? I just thought, what a great idea. Whoever did this is absolutely fantastic, because I thought, my goodness, is that fantastic or what? You know what? We went, when we were up there, we went to a church, me and my family in Tennessee, and it was really nice. It was really fancy. It's one of these, you know, mega church type things. And actually, he actually brought a good, solid message, which I was really proud of. But there were a couple of things that just kind of struck me as odd. And I did mention it in a loving, encouraging way, not in a critical way. So we all got in there, and they give you all this stuff. It was about wisdom and honey. They give you honey and stuff like that. Anyway, so we all sat down, and so they were going to have the time of worship, right? And so, you know, we're all right, okay, we're all going to worship. I was, okay, so I, you know, the Bible, I'm like, and no one else stood up. And I thought, oh, maybe this is the wrong time. And so I sat back down, and they started playing, and I was like, oh, maybe this is a song, like an intro song before, you know. And so I waited, and after the first song, and then I look around me, nobody's even singing. No one's singing. It's just the worship team singing. And I'm like, okay, maybe this, I'm new, so maybe they're doing something a little different, and it's going to be a couple of songs in that we're all going to, I'm singing. There's like three of us, and I think me and my family, we're like, we don't know any better. We're just singing. There's like 1,000 people here. Nobody is worshiping the Lord. They were all just sitting there. And then I didn't have my Bible with me. And so you can rebuke me for that later. And then he went into the word. Like I said, he actually did do a good message. And then I went, and I didn't have a Bible. So I looked to see if somebody was handing out a Bible. And then I looked to see if there were Bible under the seats. And I looked if there was Bibles in the back. There was not one Bible in the whole place. And that we can see. Well, I did ask one of the guys afterwards. He's like, well, you know, everybody uses their phones today, so we're, and that's okay. That's okay. If you do that, use your app, there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. But it was just, I said, you know what, you guys are, I just want to encourage you. You know, if you want to focus on the word, make it available to people. You have got guests. And he's like, oh, well, that's a great idea. Well, think about that. Good. So I'm encouraged that you guys have your phones or your Bibles in hand. Listen, I love it. That's right, Nick. If you don't have a Bible, this body doesn't have gazillions of dollars, obviously. But what we do have, we'll give you. If you need a Bible, or if you need a Bible commentary, you need anything that will help you study the Word of God, this wonderful group here and the folks online, thank you, will give you a gift of a Bible, any translation you want, free as a gift in Jesus' name. Just ask us. Sound good? No questions asked. Okay. All right, so we are in the book of Hebrews because it's baptism day. If you would turn there, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the chairs ahead of you or behind you. Or again, if you need one, we'll give it to you as a gift in Jesus' name. I think we're only going to go through a total of three verses today. So maybe you get a shorter sermon, or maybe I just take a longer time with the three verses. But we are in Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read the three verses, and then we'll go through them. Let's just say three. All right, starting in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For verse 2 continues, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Verse 3 continues, now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declare an oath in my anger, they shall never enter their rest, and yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. All right, so we're going to go through this together, starting off in Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And we're going to go through verse by verse. That's what we do here, book by book, so you know what the Bible says in context. It starts off, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Now, this is just, to me, this is just a powerful, powerful scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. It starts off with the word therefore. Okay, do you notice that? So whenever you see the word therefore, you have to ask yourself, what is it therefore? Right. So when you see that, you ask, what is it? It's a term that basically summarizes a thought. And basically, it's summarizing chapter 3. But it's like saying, in conclusion, since the promise of entering rest still stands, be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. And so it's summarizing the last time we got together when we did Hebrews chapter 3. Right? And he was talking about God's people in the Old Testament, how unbelief and disobedience, right, kept them. God had shown them miracles. He had shown them mercy. He had shown them grace. He had spoke truth to them. He had done so much for them, like he's done for us, and yet they were disobedient and did not believe God's promises, and they didn't take that step of faith, and they never entered the promised land. They never entered his rest because they didn't combine. All they did was see and hear, but they didn't take it to heart and make it a part of who they were. They didn't make it a part of their faith. And that faith causes that obedience, and they never did that. And so if you remember from chapter 3, these were the last verses, and this is what it's concluding. When God was saying in Hebrews chapter 3, 16 to I think 19, it says, who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? They heard the word, yet they said no, right? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? Only a few of them got to see the promised land. And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Okay? So this is, again, this Hebrews is a book of warnings. And honestly, I realize this isn't everybody puffy, feel good, type messages. But to me, these are critical, important messages. Because there's messages going out in the church that's just like, hey, guess what? You can just say a few words about Jesus, right? And say, I believe, and then you can live however the way you want. I actually almost swore there. But I wanted to say, H-E double hockey sticks, no. because that's straight from the pit, that message. Listen, that belief creates, if we take it in faith, will create obedience in our life. Not that you're going to be perfect. Is anybody here the perfect Christian? Okay, I'm raising my hand, but I'm not. But God's working on me, right? Hopefully he's working on you if you allow him to, right? Okay, so listen. Faith is important to God. And that faith doesn't mean just like saying some words, right? Faith means I believe and my faith drives me to actions. Me believing in Jesus Christ starts to change how I think, how I spend my time, how I spend my money, what I do, what I don't do. Let me tell you what I used to do, but what I do is trying to live for the Lord. But faith is so important, and we don't want to fall short. Listen, Hebrews 11:6 says something very important. He says, God says to us, without faith, it is difficult to please God. I'm sorry, my translation doesn't say that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, why is that, Pastor? Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Listen, he's a good, good father. If you're seeking him with an open heart, guess what? He is happy with that. He is so pleased. He wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you. He actually wants to challenge you in areas. Listen, I don't think you should go to any church that just makes you feel comfy all the time. Now, God wants to comfort you, right? Hallelujah, praise. I need it. Does anybody here not need encouragement? Dang it, I need it. I need encouragement. But more than that, I want the truth spoken to me. And even if that's difficult, even if that's challenging, I want to hear what God has to say. But faith and belief, listen, unbelief is a killer. And God's saying, I don't want you to fall short, right? I want the rubber to meet the road, so to speak, right? I remember Jesus, he was talking to a dad, actually, who had a son. And his son, if you remember the story from Mark, his son was actually possessed by a demon, man. And that's some wicked stuff. Imagine your kid, and it says this how they let that in, I don't know, but it says that this kid this demon would throw his kid into the fire and into the water, try to drown him, and he came to Jesus as like, I don't know, you know, if you can heal my son, I don't know if you can, but if you can heal him, you know, would you do it? And Jesus is like, I don't think he was saying this sarcastically, like, if I can. Whoopsh. I think he was trying to challenge his faith a little bit. And maybe that's what God's trying to do to you today. He said to him, if you can, said Jesus. And then he said, listen, everything is possible for one who believes. Wow. I think he's trying to get his dad to think, yes, you're right. All things are possible with God, Lord. What am I thinking? Sometimes we limit God, right? We don't trust him because we think in our own mind, oh, we can't do this, because we're thinking too earthly. God can do anything he wants. Listen, that addiction, God can break it. That demonic attack, God can push through it, right? Whatever it is for you, that deficiency that you have, whatever it is, God can go exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever even ask or imagine. That's not a bumper sticker. Dude, that's the truth. I know it to be true. Here's the deal. I want you to know it to be true. Not because I say it, but because you believe it and you step out in faith. Does that make sense? Listen, and he said, everything is possible for him who believes. And I really like this because the dad kind of sometimes reminded me of me. He's like, and you'll see in this next picture, the scripture picture. This is from Mark chapter 9, 23, 24, because this was the dad's response. And I picked the scripture picture. I entitled it The Wolf of Unbelief, because sometimes I feel like this little lamb compared to all the attacks of the enemy. Do you know what I'm saying? And look at the size. Now, whatever that is for you, fear, anxiety, finances, anger, whatever the thing, lust, whatever it is, that's right. What? Okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you to help me with this, that you're going to give me the strength and empower me as I step out in faith. And this dad, he says, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "Oh, I believe." And then he was really honest. I love this. But he's like, "Jesus, help me overcome my belief, my unbelief." That's, I think, the key. Nobody here is a Superman Christian, right? The only reason that we're super at all and have any sort of superpowers is because we're empowered by the Lord and we ask Jesus continually for that strength, for that power. We all need it. Isn't that true? Look, you need it when you're 2, when you're 22, when you're 202. You need it. You just, and so this is your key. So listen, maybe you're feeling like whatever is attacking you, I just don't have the faith like he does. I don't have the faith like she does. You know what? You can just say to the Lord, "Jesus, help me with my unbelief." And this is why I like the scripture picture. Who's coming a running? Look at it. The shepherd. Oh, yeah. And he's got the staff in hand, right? His rod and his staff protect me. He leads me beside still waters, and he does what? Restores my soul. So listen, you call on him. Call on the name of the Lord. It's in his mighty power that we can break this stuff. It's in his mighty power. We cry out to him for help. I do it all the time. You're a pastor. Yeah, I need help and strength and encouragement all the time. Guess what? Pastor Gary does it all the time. Jason does it all the time. Don does it all the time. Anthony, Natalie, we do it because we need Jesus. Hallelujah. So don't be ashamed. "I don't know if I should ask somebody for prayer." Yeah, you should. I just don't want them to know that I'm struggling. We're all struggling. Jesus, help me with my unbelief. Help me to overcome it in Jesus' name. And he'll give you the strength and the power to step out in faith. Does that make sense? Oh, did you have something you want to say? I don't know where the microphone is, so if you could bring...
Jesus did it all the time.
Yes, he did. That's right. Sometimes Jesus would even go off. His disciples would be looking for him, right? He'd be out praying, and he's praying to the Father, right? Getting his directions. So why don't you follow his example? But for us, help me, Jesus, overcome my unbelief. Maybe even, hey, let's stop right now. Just take a minute in your mind. Don't say it out loud, but I want you to think about, what are you struggling with? What is one area in your life that's just keeping you down? Will you just pray in your own heart and mind and just say, "Jesus, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Help me to believe and help me to step out in faith and to obey you." I ask that you would do that right now to him. In Jesus' name. Amen. He goes on to say, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful." The word in Greek is phobio. It's kind of it's a strong word. He's like warning us. It literally means, in the Greek, it means to tremble in fear. It means to be seized with alarm or to be seized with dread. He's like, dude, that's my translation. Dudette, be careful, right? He's like, be alarmed, seized with alarm, tremble with a holy fear, that none of you fall short of that finish line, of that goal, of entering his rest, right? It's the truth. You and I should have that same holy fear. The Bible says in Psalm 111, it says, the fear of the Lord, the reverential, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It starts it all, having that holy fear. Lord, I don't want to fall short of this. The writer of Hebrews is saying, Lord, have that holy fear that compels you to do what's right. Have that holy fear to live that life. And I put on here, I'm going to change this for a second. It says, you and I should also have the same holy fear for our family, friends who say they're a Christian and who go to church, but they live a life of unbelief. We all know them. Maybe we've been them, right? I went to church for decades. And you know what I did? I went to church. There was no faith. You know what I mean? You know, eat like a hog, you know. I won't even go into that. But the bottom line is, I said that we should have the same holy fear for our family and friends who say they're Christian. But really, we should have it for us. We'll talk about that in a minute. The Bible talks about examining yourself to see whether or not you're in the faith. Hey, I said a prayer when I was 8. Well, if you're living like a dog, something's wrong, right? Listen, it says, be careful that none of you, right, be found to have fallen short. And the picture that God kind of gave me was a picture of the ark. You guys remember the ark, right, in Noah's day, right? The flood was coming in, humanity, everybody was bad, right? And Noah didn't build the ark in like a week and a half, right? He built that ark over maybe even up to 100 years. He was preaching the word of God, telling people to repent, right? Everybody heard. I don't know. People had to be, they couldn't have got all that lumber themselves. They had to be bringing in the lumber, right? They had to be bringing in the food, maybe the laborers and all this stuff that they had to be, the tools necessary to build this gigantic building, this gigantic ark, excuse me. And I'm just picturing, right, this ark would that Noah would say would save anyone who entered, right? And imagine being a part of that for all those years, hearing all those warnings, but not taking the step of faith of obedience to say, okay, I believe what you're saying, and I'm going to step through that door and be saved. Imagine that until the door is shut. And then it was too late. God doesn't want you falling short. He doesn't want me falling short. This is to stir you. The Bible says to stir one another up in love and good deeds. This is not to make you feel like a terrible person, whatever. This is to say, hey, make sure your calling and election is sure. Make sure you're walking on the right path. I don't want you, hey, people were probably working around that ark for years, hearing the word of God for years. But I'm not going to step through the door. I mean, that would take faith and obedience. Imagine, and then it's too late. They fell short. Listen, and it says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. In other words, God's promise of rest and entering the promised land wasn't just for God's people back then, right, when they didn't go into the promised land. It's for us now. The fulfillment is still for you today. And rest, in God's eyes, right, it means peace with God and peace from God. Does that make sense? And I don't know if that's maybe oversimplifying, but the Bible says, listen, if you're living for yourself, right, and God still died for you, but you're still out there outside the ark, the storms are coming, the floods are coming, right? You're still outside. God doesn't want that. To have that rest and that peace, the Bible actually says that we have made ourselves enemies with God because of our behavior. In other words, how we live our life, we're not living in obedience to God. We're not living in, it says we were once enemies of God. Wow. I never thought of it like that. I was like, oh God, I'm just not for you, but I'm not against you. The Bible says, hey, anyone who's not for me is against me. If you're not gathering with me, know what you're really doing? You're scattering. Ah, thanks, Pastor. I brought a friend today. Well, good. Then maybe that friend, maybe God has this message specifically for them. I saw a hand go up and back, so if you could just bring the microphone back there. The Bible says this. I want to say two things while they're bringing them. Or do you want to say, do you have the microphone? I'm sorry. You're good.
Yeah, it's just, how did that lamb get in that position where he's out there? Because Jesus would have protected him if he hadn't wandered off.
Yeah.
God put protection around him, but he decided he wanted to see what's on the other side of the fence.
I think a lot of us are like that one that wants to, you know, in fact, Don, I'll say this. We all are like sheep. that have gone astray. Every one of us at one point or another. And God is like, you know what? Lord, help me in my unbelief. Maybe God's saying that to you now. There's a bunch of people rededicating their lives. Could not be prouder. Right? Could not be prouder. They're a part of that crew. I'm not too proud. Lord, help me. I'm here. I want to follow you. Empower me. I love that. Listen, having peace with God, the world, your flesh, the enemy is all coming against you, right? This is my scripture picture, right? This is Romans 5 about peace. You've got sin, all types of sin, you name it. What's different for Gary is different for me, but that sin is coming against us. Death, eternal damnation, man. And Jesus having that peace with God, saying, yep, I'm going to go inside that ark. I'm going to match. I'm not going to hear those words. I'm going to obey them. And I'm going to hear it. I'm going to have faith. And I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going to go. Listen, that's Jesus. And to me, having peace with God, he's already purchased that for us if we'll receive it. Listen, the Bible says this, therefore, once you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, right? It says, therefore, since we have been justified through what? Faith, right? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin, death, eternal damnation, because of what Jesus did for us and us receiving that, it's like us entering the ark, right? And that door is shut, right? Jesus is like, this one's mine, right? Because of the blood of the Lamb, we have peace with God. I love that. But not only do we have peace with God, right? We're no longer his enemies. We also have peace from God. He also gives us peace from, like, we could be in a whirlwind. And this is what I picture in this, like a little tornado or something, right in the middle. Or if you've been in here in Florida, hurricane, have you ever been through, you will be riding out this scary, you know, hurricane. And all of a sudden, in the middle of it, it's like bright, shiny. You like go outside. It's like, was there, other than all the branches and stuff down, and because you're right in the middle, right? Well, in a sense, we all have stuff going on in our lives that could freak anybody out, right? But the Bible says, not only do we have peace with God, we have peace from God. Listen, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, when our hearts, our minds are set on him and the things of him, in the middle of any storm, we can have his peace. He even says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are what? Steadfast on you because they trust in you. Look, oh Lord, I'm putting my faith in your word. I don't know how you're going to get me out of this, but I'm going to do what's right in your eyes no matter what. And I'm going to trust you. And I can have my peace because my peace and my trust is in Jesus. Does that make sense? Groovy. Listen. And it says fallen short. And the word picture is a runner in the Olympic Games. I don't know if you can picture him now or back then, the Greco-Roman times. But a runner who has trained, right, for years. Been around all these other runners, all these other races, right? And you know what? He's just getting to the finish line and he's like, you can see it right there. And he's like, ah, this is just really too tough. This whole Christian thing. Oh, too much. I think I'm just going to lay down right here. Oh. Right before the finish line. Like this guy. Yeah. Nah. Yeah, it's just too hard. I don't really want to do it anymore. Listen, we can all have those thoughts, can't we? Let's just be honest. And you know what I say to myself when I have those thoughts? Adoy. How foolish. To run all that way to be at the finish line. You see, I don't know if you can see the runners, probably can't in this picture, but they're all crossing the finish line. Listen, this walk or run of faith, run the race with perseverance that's marked out for you. Keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, because he's the starter and finisher of your faith. Make sense? Listen, don't fall short. How dumb would it be just like this guy who gave up right before the finish line? And in Olympic Games, you'd be like, you did all that other stuff for nothing. You didn't even finish the race. God doesn't want that for you. Does that make sense? Until you cross that line. All right, then maybe it's a little further. How about that? Okay. He goes on to say in verse 2, of Hebrews 4:10. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did back then. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. They didn't enter the promised land way back in Moses' time. Only Joshua and Caleb believed, and they actually got to enter, right? And so it was of no value to them. In their own way, the Old Testament Israelites had the gospel preached to them, but most did not mix their faith or what they heard with works and obedience to God. So they never entered the rest in the promised land. And I think that's a picture for us. It's like us, all our meaningless, if we're one of those people, I did it for years, that had meaningless God talk. You know, you can learn Christianity. You can learn the way Christians talk. Hallelujah, praise God, amen. And it not really be real. God's saying, don't fall short. He doesn't need empty God talk. He doesn't need religiosity. He doesn't need that. What he wants is a relationship with you. Listen, if I have a relationship with my wife, she knows me better than anybody, right? Jesus knows you, well, other than Jesus, right? Jesus wants that type of relationship with you. Now, if I never saw my wife, if I never talked to her, if I never spent time with her, if I never got together with her, what kind of relationship would we have? Right? Jesus is every day, he's like, hey, I want to spend time with you. I want to hang out with you. Hey, I even wrote a love letter to you. Do you have it? Are you opening it? Are you looking at it? Do you know what I'm saying? Are you taking it to heart or are you just hearing me? I know you're reading words, but are you hearing me? Right? Not said in any mean way. Just, he wants to have that relationship. The closer, the more time, most of the time, the more time we spend together. Right? A couple times in Tennessee, but most of the time. But with Jesus, the good news is the more time we spend together with him, it's always a buzz. But listen, we can't just hear the word of God and do nothing, right? That's what they did back then, and it was of no value to them. And it's the same to us. There are people in churches all the time hearing the word of God. But if you walk out and it has no effect on your life or the way you think or the way you operate or what you do or what you say, guess what? It means nothing. The Bible says this in James 1:22. You're still in bondage. It says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. This sin is so... I'm so stuck in this sin. I don't know if you see his arms, right? He's really not stuck if he has Jesus. He just needs to trust God and let go. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it a good thought? Thank you. Vicky gets an A. Can you mark that down? But most of the time, that's what it's like. It's just we're not taking it. We're not trusting by faith in his word. And we're not trusting in his promise. Listen, but Pastor, you're getting this is a little too much for me. I believe in God. There might be some people online. I believe in God. I'm good. I'm good with it. I believe in God. You know, I believe Jesus died. I believe he's powerful. I believe it, all that. Okay, well, guess what the Bible says about that, my friend? My wife doesn't like the looks of this, but I do. James, because it gets the point across, James 2:19 to 20 says this. You believe that there's one God? Good. He says, even the demons believe that. And they shudder. The demons believe in one God. The demons believe God's powerful. The demons believe all that stuff. He was resurrected, right? What the demons don't do is willingly obey him. Does that make sense? You see the difference? Now, the demons are going to still have to bend their knees someday, but by force. We're to do it willingly, by faith, because we trust in him. Capisce? Listen, it goes on to say, how foolish. Can't you see faith without deeds is useless? Listen, if you say you have faith, but you don't have any deeds, and your life isn't changing, that's useless, right? In fact, even worse, oh, Pastor, isn't this enough? No! James 2:26 says, as the body without the holy without the Spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Dead means no life. You've fallen short, and God doesn't want that for you. That's why he's warning you now. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, I love this, to examine yourself. Take a good, hard look in the mirror. Look, don't compare yourself to him or to her. You know, compared to him, I look pretty good. Compared to her, I'm doing great. She's got a lot of problems anyways. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Take a look in the mirror. Am I a dead man walking? Am I really spiritually dead? Am I just hearing the words and not doing what is being said? Am I living a life that's honoring to God? Am I walking by faith? Am I just really dead inside? That's why I love this picture, because 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves, look in that mirror to see whether or not you're even in the faith. Test yourself. Make sure, because God doesn't want you to fall short. Does that make sense, everyone? I know this is a toughy message, but it's a good one, and it's a message we need to hear. I love A.W. Tozer said something. He's got a great book out, but got a lot. But he says, true faith commits itself to obedience. In other words, not that you're going to be perfect, but you're going to be striving to obey the Lord and his word. I want to know what he says, what he wants from me, and I want to try my best to obey it. Lord, help me to obey. Help my unbelief. Let me take another step. Sometimes, I'll just tell you in my walk. Sometimes with my walk, can I tell you? It's I'm making 1, 2, 3 steps forward, and then 1, 2 back. Dang it. But I'm still moving forward. Does that make sense? I like what Adrian Rogers said, another evangelist. He said, faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. Why am I going through all these trying times? I don't even know if the Lord loves me. Listen, those times of testing, right, is what proves your faith true. Because those testing times, you either say, okay, Lord, I'm going to hang on to your cross no matter what. Just like we said a few weeks ago. Remember that picture of that guy holding on to that cross in the storm? I'm going to hold on to your cross no matter what. Or during times of testing, we were like, no, you don't care about me, Lord. I'm out of here. Well, that shows where your faith is really at. God already knows. He's trying to show you. Because he doesn't want you to fall short. How long have I been teaching, Pastor? No, that can't be true because I'm only going through 3 verses. Okay, couple more minutes. We're just finished with this. Last verse. Okay? Awe is right. That's why I did it. Look who's got all the mud and dirt on him. Who do you think this is? Okay, who's the lamb? Us. Who do you think is wrapping that lamb up in the rain? Right. That's the Lord. Do you notice the nail scar in his hand? Do you notice the dirt? You know why he's so dirty? Because he's taken our sin upon us. Isn't that amazing? He is the he's pure. He's holy. But we're the one that's been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Does that make sense? I don't want to fall short. I want it, Lord Jesus, help me. He goes on to say in this last verse, now we who have believed, those who have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're walking that walk with him. That's a believer means also walking, right? We have believed, enter his rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest, and yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. Again, this is the last verse here, so hang in with me for 5 more minutes. Now, to be honest, this verse seems a little disjointed, but I'll do my best to explain. I think the New Living Translation says it better. I gave it a couple. It says, for only we who believe can enter his rest. And then it says, as for the others, God said, in my anger I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest, even though the rest has been ready since he made the beginning of the world. That helps me to understand it better. Okay? So he's talking about us and then the others. So the first part, starts off clear. Now we who have believed enter that rest. This is a quote from Psalm 95, also Deuteronomy, but I think it's a contrast from the previous Hebrew verses who were warning us of people who did not enter God's rest or fell short. The second part is much easier to understand in the New Living Translation because it almost seems like it's contradicting, but the New Living Translation says, as for the others, so it's contrasting us who believes versus the others who did not. Okay? So that helps me to understand it a little bit better. And again, it's making us clear, a clear contrast, that unbelief keeps people out of God's rest, right? Like those in Hebrews 3, 18, 19 that we looked at earlier, while those of us who have chosen to believe are going to enter that rest, we're going to have peace with God and peace from God because of that rest. And the third part, I think, speaks of the future rest that was prepared for us who believe since the creation of the world. And I don't even fully understand all that, but I picture it this way. This is you. This is me. We live in a world that has fallen, a sinful world, or everything around us, the world, the flesh, the devil is all going the wrong way, right? God is like, yeah, but I know you. I formed you in your mother's womb. I've called you. I've chosen you. In fact, he says something that even boggles my mind. He says in Ephesians 1:4, this is the New King James Version because I thought I said it really well. It says, he chose us in him, that's in Christ, before the creation of the world. Mind blown. I don't even understand that fully, that we should be holy. Holy just means set apart, right? In other words, if you said some words or you've gone to church, but you're still living the same way, God's saying, that's not holy. That's not set apart. I want you to live for me now, kid. And he says, you're holy. I'm telling you, I want you, you're holy and without blame before him in love. So it's almost like God's giving you this little God bubble around you. And even though the storms are going on, he's like, I've got this spot in heaven saved for you. Right before the creation of the world.
My name's on the list.
Your name is on the list. But I don't want anyone who's been around a lot of Christian talk to fall short and stop before the race ends. You have to have a mind that says, Sebastian, I am going to overcome by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nicholas, I am going to, by faith, trust in your word. Brad, I'm going to take your word and I'm going to step out in faith, not because I'm anything, but because you, Lord Jesus, are everything. And I can be holy and without blame, not because of me, but because of what you've done for me, Jesus. That's your God. So take these warnings to heed for yourself, for your family. Get your, I don't want to say act together because it's not an act. I don't even know the right words to say. What was that? Get your ducks in a row. Sure. Make sure your calling and election is sure, right? And if there's anybody else who wants to join us and dedicate or rededicate for the first time or rededicate, let myself know, Jason, Gary, we'll talk with you and we'd love to have you. And let's take a minute and let's pray as we think about this, okay? Father, I want to say thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the way you love us and you encourage us and the way you care about us. But thank you also for your warnings, Lord, for that holy reverential fear, Lord God, that you give us, Lord, to shake us out of our comfort zones, to say, hey, maybe I need to rethink some things or reorder some things or get my ducks in a row. Lord, help me to follow you and to do it with the right heart and with the right spirit. Help me not to just hear, right, but to match that hearing with trust and faith and then obedience as I walk with you, Lord God. Then I'll be kept sure, Lord, because you have chosen me before the foundations of the world, and I want to cross that finish line. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would do whatever it takes in anyone's life here, right now, within the sound of my voice, by the power of your Holy Spirit, here, outside, online, that whoever would hear your voice would call out, Lord, help me with my unbelief, Lord, that I may trust in you, follow you, and obey you more, Lord God. That I may be found right with you, that I may walk with you all the days of my life and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Bless this group of people. Bless this baptism that we have afterwards. Thank you for Don cooking those hot dogs, for Gary setting everything up, Lord God. Thank you for every person who is given baptized. Even now, I pray a unction of your Holy Spirit on them right now, Lord. Maybe out there getting prayed for, maybe out there in the water, whatever it is, Lord, that you would bless them, gift them, heal them, release them, Lord, strengthen their walks for the rest of their lives. We all pray this together and thank you in Jesus Christ's name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.